This is a CBC podcast. University is a time in our lives when everything changes. It's made up of those defining moments that really make us who we are. Campus, CBC's new podcast series, looks into the struggles to overcome the anxieties of leaving home, finding friends, fitting in, and feeling lost. Download it today at cbc.ca/campus.
From Victoria School of the Arts in Edmonton, the school I attended decades ago, but hardly been back. Oh, hey, there's my gum. Nope, that's not mine. Nor is it gum. It's the Irrelevant Show.
Hello, everyone. Wonderful to see all of you again. Today, we're reading from...
Excuse me. Can I say something before we start?
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. My name's Dale, and I've been coming to this book club for a couple months now. And don't get me wrong, you're all really nice, and this community center is beautiful. But it's the same book every week.
Well, Dale...
Also, I was hoping we'd... all get to take a turn reading, but again, no offense, it seems like one person really dominates the conversation every week.
Dale, I think you might...
So I guess what I'm asking is, can the rest of us have a turn talking, and can we try a new book once in a while?
Dale, this is church.
Church.
Yes. Yes, the community center is across the street.
Okay, that explains a lot. Like, why we always meet on Sundays, why you keep saying what a great book it is.
Good book. It's the good book.
Right. And the bland snacks. That makes sense. You know, some hummus might add some zip to those crackers.
They're fine.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyway, I was going to suggest we read The Hobbit next.
I think we'll stick with the book we already have, but thank you, Dale.
Okay, so I guess I'll just be going.
All right. You're welcome back anytime. And if you do get that other book group going, let me know. I love The Hobbit.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's a fun read.
Leave your number on the bulletin board outside. We can get together sometime.
Will do. How are Sunday mornings for everyone?
We're busy.
Hello, Bob's Exterminators, exterminating high prices for over a decade. What can I do you for?
I need some help. I think I have some kind of infestation.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, why do you think that?
Well, it looks like something has burrowed through my basement floorboard.
Okay,
Yeah, it's like a 4-foot hole. And there are some chew marks on the couch, like giant chunks have been ripped out of the couch.
Anything else?
Well, there were some marks on the floor.
Oh, yeah, what'd they look like?
Paw prints, I guess.
Well, sir, I'm sorry to tell you this.
Oh, boy, is it rats?
No, sir. Sounds like you've got panthers.
How the heck did I get panthers?
Oh, boy. Yeah, hard to say. You might have left a window open or, you know, maybe a friend brought one in his coat. You know, you just really never know.
Well, I was trekking in the jungle a couple weeks ago.
There you go.
And we do keep gazelles in the backyard. Although, come to think of it, they aren't there anymore.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like panthers, yeah.
But we just sprayed for everything last week.
Oh, panthers are tougher than you think. Sometimes spraying just doesn't do the job.
Ugh, what a nuisance. How can I get rid of them?
Well, sir, to get rid of panthers, you're going to need a large tranquilizer gun. You know, it has to be industrial grade, too, a rifle. Not one of those little handgun tracks. You do not want to just make them angry. Oh, boy. Just ask my old business partner, Jimmy, God rest his soul. Also, I would recommend body armor of some kind. You know, Kevlar's pretty good.
I don't have any of that stuff. What else can I do?
Okay, well, You could get someone in your family to lure them out while you lie in wait. Yeah. Yeah, get someone on the smaller side, though, eh? You want the panther to see them as prey so their predator instinct kicks in.
But you're the exterminator. Can't you come over and help me?
You're kidding, right? You have a panther infestation in your house. Some of the deadliest beasts in the jungle. Can I come over? Hey, Larry, he wants me to come over. Oh, that is too funny.
Aw. Darn. I just need someone to help me with these pesky panthers. Honey, the exterminator guy won't come over. Honey? Honey?
Most pest control companies can't be bothered with panthers, but here at Panthers Be Gone, panthers is all we do. We're in the panther business. If you've got panthers, then we've got anthers. At Panthers Be Gone.
If your home is infested with jungle cats, leave it to us, we'll make them scat. Panthers Be Gone.
The Irrelevant Show now presents Men and Women Telling the Same Stories. Couple 2403, Jennifer and Adam Myers.
Adam and I met on March 2nd, 2005, at 6:32 p.m. I was in second year at York University, and I had stopped in at the Drunken Scholar for a glass of Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio. I was reading Romeo and Juliet for my Shakespeare 202 class, and just as I'm starting Act 1, Scene 5, Did My Heart Love Till Now, I just happened to glance up and see Adam playing pool across the room. And... Well, his low-rise khakis announced to the world that he was both full of fun and full of potential. And when he turned around and I saw those blue sapphire eyes, it was like Cupid's arrow had pierced directly into the flesh of my heart. My very own Romeo was finally standing before me, and our tale of love was just waiting to be written.
How'd I meet Jen? I think we met in a bar.
Couple 1059, Anne and Jeff Tremblay.
It was the second Friday of November. We were going out for dinner, so I was getting ready upstairs. Jeff was in the living room listening to the smoothest jazz I'd ever heard. As I put on my lipstick, I got this sort of jolting feeling right in the center of my womb. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but in hindsight, I was actually jolted by love. I tried to walk downstairs, but I couldn't because Jeff was at the bottom of the stairs and he was glowing like a light at the end of a long, dark tunnel. He smiled at me with a ring in one hand and a white carnation in the other. And in that moment, I knew that my life was beginning.
We were already shacked up, and it was going to save us $1,200 in taxes.
Couple 377, Susan and Todd Miller.
I was watching the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks were marching. Minute to go. Looks like my boys are going to pull it off. They hand the ball to Lynch. He gets to the one. Second and goal. I'm screaming, give the ball back to Lynch. Run the ball. And then they pass. They pass. And the Patriots intercept. And the game's over. I'm gutted. Nothing makes any sense. I remember wondering whether I'd ever be able to feel anything ever again. And that's when Susan hands me a cold beer and she says, don't you worry, sweetie. There's always next year. And at that moment, I knew I'd found my rock. My wife.
He was in med school, and I was 32.
You're listening to The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius XM. Coming to you today from Victoria School of the Arts in Edmonton, the actual high school I attended.
I attended Lindsay Thurber in Red Deer. Rock on! For free podcasts of Irrelevant Show episodes or sketches, go to iTunes or our website, cbc.ca/irrelevantshow. And if you have a comment about the program or an awesome drawing of one of our characters, send us an email. Our address is irrelevant@cbc.ca.
Today's episode of The Irrelevant Show is brought to you by Math 20. Math 20, I might have taken that.
And now, if X equals Jocelyn Ulf and Y equals Jan Randall, then X plus Y equals our musical guests, Jocelyn Ulf and Jan Randall.
My darling, I can't find the words to tell you all the things I'm feeling in my heart. Now we're leaving Saskatoon to go on our honeymoon. I'm so in love, I don't know where to start. My love is warmer than a Saskatchewan sunset, bigger than the sky at night. I treasure you so dearly, my darling. I love you nearly as much as the Rough Riders, but not quite. I still recall the first time that I saw you. Our eyes met and my heart just skipped a beat. I said a prayer that you'd be mine, just like I prayed in 89.
Grey Cup final, last minute. Tony Champion makes a ridiculous catch. Hamilton ties the game. 1 minute on the clock. Austin marches them down the field. 9 seconds left. 43-yard field goal attempt. I'm covering my eyes and I'm breathing in and out like I'm giving birth or something. Ridgeway kicks it. It's up. It's good. Yes! Yes! Yes, 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 yes! We did it! Riders! Riders!
I'm sorry, what were we talking about? Oh, right. Right.
I look into your eyes, and there is no doubt. I love you like the riders just about. You've made me the happiest girl in Rider Nation. But here's a promise you can count upon. If you make me a chump, I swear to God I'll dump a truckload of manure on your lawn.
Just like I did to Paul McCallum.
A truckload of manure on your lawn.
Hi there, America. Canada here. Hey, can we bend your ear about something real quick? Cool. Look, America, we're good friends, and we've got each other's backs, right? Like, if we were doing something silly, we'd expect you guys to be like, hey, we deposit checks in the bank by taking pictures of them on our phone now. And we'd be like, right on! That is a better way of doing things. And then we'd start doing the check thing. So, listen, when we were vacationing down there, we noticed something really disconcerting, and we want to talk to you about it. You don't have a word for toque. It's not like you have a different word than we do, like the way you call a Chesterfield a sofa, or an Yves Trough a gutter, or Justin Bieber a singer. No, you don't have any word for it, and it's dragging you down. It's getting in the way of police cop investigations.
Can you describe the man who robbed the bank?
Oh, yeah. He was 5'9½", dark hair, 163 pounds, with an anchor tattoo on his left forearm. He had a mustache, a plaid shirt, and a hat.
Great. And what team was on the hat?
No, it wasn't a baseball hat.
Was it a cowboy hat?
No, it was like, one of those...
A fedora?
No. Like, it was cold out, so he was wearing a hat.
This witness is useless. Damn it! Release the suspect!
There. Do you see what happened? The word toque could have put a big-time criminal in jail. America, this is a thing you wear. You have a bin in your house full of them. What do you call that bin? Get a name for it, or you will crush your children's dreams.
Your word is toque.
Toque?
Toque.
Language of origin, please?
Canadian, from the French.
Toque. Am I saying that correctly? Toque?
Toque.
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 Okay. Toque. Could you use it in a sentence, please?
Yes. Here is a sentence that includes the word toque.
Okay. G. Oh no, my dreams.
Use the word, America. It's right there for you. And honestly, I think you guys are just being obtuse about it. We have a word for it. It's an amazing, monosyllabic, sharply consonanted word that cuts through the winter nights like a knife. And when you refuse to use it, we feel like there's something wrong with us. It's fine. It's a good word. Stop being insensitive and use the damn word.
This was a paid announcement from Canadians for a toquier America.
the team that brought you 8 Mile, Ray, and Walk the Line, comes the musical movie event of the year. It's the story of a Canadian legend who rose to superstardom from the mean streets of Morden, Manitoba.
Honey, are you going to the Morden Corn and Apple Festival, which is an actual event that exists?
Nah, Mom. I'd rather stay home and practice.
Oh, my daughter. All the other kids have friends. They go outside and have fun. But with you, it's always practice, practice, practice. You can't go through your life alone.
My music is my ticket out of here, Mom. It's my ticket out of here.
Okay.
It's my ticket out, Mom. My ticket out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to get out, but I need a ticket.
Yeah, I get it. Jeez, have fun.
Over the hills, through the valley, I'll follow my dream. And I'll prove to the world that I'm more than I seem.
The wind that shakes the barley. The Lorena McKennett story.
The children make jokes 'cause my hair's red, not blonde. But my harp will take me to Winkler and beyond.
With just her harp, her guts, and her unquenchable will to succeed, Lorena moved to Stratford, Ontario, where a small-town harp hero suddenly found herself facing cutthroat Celtic competition.
All right, all right, all right, yo, we've got a newcomer at tonight's harp battle. Ladies, gentlemen, please welcome Lorena McKennett. Lorena is battling the reigning champ, Colleen Eccleston. Colleen, do you want to go?
I'll go first. Give her time to tink.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Little girl, you're a fool. In a battle, I'm stronger. My hair is more red, and my locks are way longer. I have lyrics that soar like the wild ocean roaring. There's no flow in your songs, and your hair, they're just boring.
Oh! Colleen Eccleston, throw it down! Now it's Lorinda.
Lorena.
Lorena! All right, Lorena, let's hear what you got!
You're a strawberry blonde, and your tunes aren't ethereal. I found more charms in a bowl of cereal. Your rhymes are bacterial, mine are magisterial. I spent months thoroughly researching my material.
Like this.
Grandfather Seamus, as a harpist, was famous, but his real name was Lars. He was Swedish.
Lorena McKennett wins! Lorena McKennett wins!
For the first time, Lorena McKennett's gritty story comes to the big screen. You'll see everything from her meteoric rise to her struggles with hair conditioner, to her infamous speedboat shootout with Enya.
I've been waiting for a long time to destroy you, Enya.
The feeling is mutual! No!
We've all heard the story. It's a tale they all quote. The day that I took out Enya's speedboat.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley. The Lorena McKennett Story. Starring Lindsay Lohan as Lorena McKennett. Kerry Washington as Enya.
and Vin Diesel as the voice of Jean Chrétien. This summer, only in theaters.
You've been listening to The Irrelevant Show, starring
Kathy Durkach,
Neil Gron,
Mark Meir,
Jana O'Connor,
and me, Donovan Workin.
Live music by Jocelyn Alf and our music maestro, Jan Randall. Live sound effects by Dave Clark. Sketches were written by Michael Belazzo, Ian Boothby, Peter Brown, James Hartman, Carly Heffernan, with Peter Carlone, Sam Mullins, and Chris Wilson, and head writer Neil Gron. The show is recorded by Corey Haberstock with assistance from Nick Strasky and edited by Ray Buxton. The Irrelevant Show was produced and directed by Peter Brown and recorded before a live audience at Victoria School of the Arts in Edmonton.
If you've got panthers, we've got anthers. We rehearsed it twice this afternoon.
So you're just not trusting, you just said the nonsense syllable?
Yeah, that's funny to me.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.